is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're live. Happy Saturday. I get to do one of my favorite things, introduce you to a new member of the News for the Soul radio family, the show Awakening Divine Connections. You're going to meet Deborah and David right now in this hour, and we're going to start with our famous first question and unpeel the onion from there, and you'll be glad you stuck around. Lots of exciting things coming this hour to unfold. First of all, let's make sure we've got them on the board. David and Deborah, are you there?
Can you hear us?
Yes, we're here.
Hey, that helps. And you're coming through fine. Welcome to the News for the Soul Network, and looking forward to getting to know both of you today. As I mentioned, I start with the same question because it's the place that connects us as a community and movement that's been around for a quarter of a century now, the authentic quest to find out what's really real and what's really possible. So I don't know which one of you wants to go first, but here's the question. Every one of us, or most of us, I should say, has had those moments of connecting with something outside the 3D norm that awakens us, maybe even sets us on our path, or at least gets our attention and makes an impact on our lives in some way. And I'm curious what your earliest recollection of something like that might be, and also your most profound. So who wants to start first?
Well, I suppose I will start. This is David. Well, it actually started for me when I was seven in the form of precognitive dreams of upcoming events in my life. And they could be either symbolic, and when I was young, I didn't necessarily know what that meant, but I recognized that something was happening, and then also literal. I would see an event in my dream, and that event would happen at some later point. It could be a small thing, you know, a little two-second snippet or something longer. And then later in my adolescence, you might say, when I was 16, I went, my first, you can call it beyond 3D normal awakening, was my first spiritual seminar. It was called the Alpha Seminar back then. It's based on the work by the Jose Silva group, UC Berkeley, way back when. It was, if you remember The Power of Alpha Thinking, Miracle of the Mind by Jess Stern, that book, that was that class, and it was just very powerful, connecting me, learning how to take my, if you want to call it, intuitive abilities and finally hone them and be able to use them. So that's really the kind of a beginning. I'm going to try to keep this short. So that's it for me. How about you, Deborah?
One of my ask you a couple questions before you zip along. We got lots of time.
All right.
Hour. the dreams. Do you remember a couple examples of them when you were seven?
Yes. Well, one was fairly, I want to use the word innocuous. I had this dream. I was opening a pop-up tent camper, which at the time I hadn't seen it. My grandfather had bought it, but I didn't know that at the time. And I was opening it, and it was a sunny day, and it was, kind of like desert soil, and I saw myself getting ready to step out, and there was a footprint that I was looking at. I got my attention in the dream, and I saw that footprint. So that was a 2 or 3 second snippet in a dream. Several months later, we went on a family vacation to a place called Kanita. It's in Oregon. And anyway, that morning I woke up, I went out, opened the door, and there was that footprint. And then I had that deja vu. I was like, I remember this. And so that's when I had it.
Interesting. And did you have a more profound one as well that you recall?
Oh, my goodness. I've had many of them. And, in fact, I've just had dreams are a major vehicle for me throughout my life, amongst other things. And so during that time in childhood, I would say I just had, I can only say it anecdotally at this point, is to say I had a lot of dreams where I could remember upcoming events or I knew something was going to be coming. I had a dream that I was looking at a teacup and amongst other things, I can do tea leaf readings. And I was reading my tea leaf in a dream, and in the dream it had the symbol for money. Money was going to be coming in. And then about 3 months later, 2 months later, I was bequeathed money from an inheritance. So that's an example.
Oh, interesting. Well,
it wasn't a lot, but it was a significant amount at the time.
And these dreams continue for you now.
Absolutely. Had one just the other day, and it's talking about the car. A car represents the body in a dream, and I was getting a new car. And it's talking about starting a new body of work in my life. I'm just going to shorten it. The dream had a lot of symbols, but that's, if I distill it down to what it was talking about, and we recognize that probably part of that is this radio show here.
Well, there we go. All right, Deborah, let's go on to you.
Hi, thank you. My first awakening moment is kind of like Jeff's, because I ended up going to the same seminar.
Just so you know, I went by my middle name most of my life. I'm David Jeff. You see that on my website. So if you hear me referred to as Jeff, I go by either David or Jeff. David's my first name and Jeff is my middle. Sorry, go ahead, Deborah.
Sorry. But old habits are hard to break, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was at a major crossroads in my life back in 1999, and I was very unhappy and asking for more, searching for more. And I had been going to a chiropractor. Jeff took me to a chiropractor in North Carolina, and I didn't know about the spiritual aspect of it. Anyway, he took me there, and he worked on my back for me, and then we went back home, and then this chiropractor had a class that he was teaching, which happens to be the same class that Jeff just talked about. And I got the flyer and I read it, and it's like my brain saying, this is all woo-woo stuff. So I didn't believe in any of this spiritual stuff. And, but my heart said, you know, you have to go, you have to do this. So I got in the car and I went to this class, and there were supposed to be like 3 or 4 other people there, and nobody showed up. I was the only one there. So I had the full undivided attention of this Dr. Scott Rogers, and it was a very profound experience for me. It was a struggle. At the very end of the class, we're supposed to do this intuitive, you tune in to someone.
Readings.
Yes, intuitive reading, healing readings, and you tune in to someone you've never met, and you're supposed to be able to pick up what's wrong with them without even knowing this person. And I'm thinking, I can't do this. This is woo-woo. This is really bizarre stuff. And so I fought with the instructor, and finally he said, you're going to do this, right? And I said, okay, fine. So I did it.
She did 3 cases?
I did three cases, and I got them all right. And that just blew me away. It was like I became a believer in this spiritual stuff. And I knew in my heart that I needed to do this. And ever since then, my life has changed dramatically.
Hmm.
And that's my
and
story.
This was just one class?
The one class. That was it.
Very powerful.
Transformative. And we teach this class. It's now called Intuitive Mastery. And
we'll talk about that later.
But, you know, during this class, when I was taking it with Dr. Scott, I got to meet my high self. My little child, and that was a very emotional, profound experience for me as well, because I could heal that little child and grow and understand all of the things that happened in my life and why I was the way I was and what I was to learn, and I was able to let go of a lot of things. So it's a very transformative spiritual experience, these classes.
So you must have had some kind of awakening moments to even be open to going to a class like that.
Well, I'm going to say that I've always been, I guess you would call it religious and connected with God in the traditional religious aspect. And I've always listened to God's inner, you know, that inner voice and God's voice. So I always felt I was being guided by God and being taken care of. And when things really looked bad, I knew that everything would be fine. And so I had a really strong connection with God at that time anyway. So it just opened me up to other aspects of God and the other things that that you can't see, that the traditional religion says doesn't exist, that's not real, that blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. And it opened me up to experience all of God, all of the divine, and to heal my inner being.
So do you remember an experience earlier in life that gave you the belief that it always was okay? Like, did you have a challenge that was met?
Well, when I was married, I was in the military with my ex-husband, and he left me and my son to go overseas away from us. And Chad, our son, is special needs. And it was very challenging to have a special needs child in the military. And there were times when things would happen and I wouldn't have daycare available. And I would be wondering, well, what was I going to do? But I knew that God would take care of it. And then sure enough, a couple of days later, there would be someone else that would step up and say, I can take care of your son. And taking care of Chad when he was 2 years old was really difficult because he was still in diapers. He still wasn't able to walk very well. Feeding was a problem. So anyway, it was a very challenging time. And through all of that, I was taken care of, and I knew that it would be all okay.
Mm. Wow. Very cool. Well, this course sounds amazing. The trainings that you two have done sound amazing. How did that affect your paths, and when did your paths come together?
Well, we met in 1992. 1992, I'm sorry, 1992. And Jeff was going to Italy for a duty station, and I was going to Spain for a duty station. And we met in Little Creek, Virginia for a class, a military class. And when I met him, I thought, you know, he's different. And but we would talk between class, and we went out to lunch together with this other friend, Debbie, and so we would talk, and I just felt like there was this connection. And so we were walking one night out on Willoughby Spit in Virginia, and we touched hands and held hands, and I knew at that moment I was going to marry this person, that he was my soulmate. And I was still married, and I didn't know anything about this spiritual stuff. I was religious but not spiritual, and I knew that we were going to be married. And it's like I knew him from before, and like I've always known him. And so we were together during that time for school. That was in May. And then we went back. He went to Newport, Rhode Island, and I went back to South Carolina. We kept in touch. He would call, and he said, can I come visit? And this, so he came to visit in June and met my son. And then after he left, he went to Italy, and I was supposed to be in Spain in July, the end of July, and that didn't happen. So anyway, I got there in October, and then he calls me and says, can I come visit you in November for Thanksgiving? And I said, sure. And I knew, before he even asked me, I knew he was going to marry me. He was going to ask me to marry him. And I thought, you know, this is crazy. I just got a divorce. I'm overseas. I got a son. You know, all the left brain monkey mind stuff. But my heart knew that I was supposed to marry him. And I said yes. So That was in 1992, July of 1993. We came back to the States, got married, and then he went back to Italy, and I went back to Spain for a year. And then we finally were together a year later. And then when he finally came to Spain, I'm like, who is this person? Because I've never been with this person, really, if you would think about it.
Wow.
So anyway, that's how we met, and we've been together for over 28 years.
Wow. That's quite a unique story.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And there was you were both in the military, did you say?
Navy.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how does that fit
both
into
in IT,
a...
we were computer people.
Ah, I see. Because that's another sort of unique aspect to, you know, not a lot of people on a spiritual quest are in the Navy.
No.
Well, actually, you'd be surprised how many people, when I was in the Navy, I was to be surprised. I don't want to digress very long, but I knew that because of the spiritual nature of what I did, I kind of kept it to myself. But I found out just by talking to people, there were lots of people using the Navy or often the military to transport them all over the world so that they can have their spiritual sojourn, so to speak.
Wow.
They usually keep it to themselves, though.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you first met Deborah, did you also have the soulmate knowingness that she had going on there?
No. I was actually, I knew she was someone, when I met her, I had just gotten out of a very challenging relationship, and I just said, that's it. I'm going to focus on my job. I'm done. And so when I was going to the school, obviously I'm going to another duty station. I was just going to focus on that like a lot of people do. And then I wanted to go out to lunch. And the next thing I know, I'm meeting this friend of Debbie, which is my Deborah. And I just like, wow, she's something special. It wasn't until after I was in Italy, I said, my heart knew she is it. I said, she's the one. I just knew it with all my heart. So. But it took me a while, just because of, you know, having gone through another relationship just as she did, it took me a while to figure it out. She knew right off the bat, as she always does, by the way. She's very intuitive.
Interesting. So once you finally got together, where did things develop next?
Well, she was already in Spain, and I had a shorter tour than she did. So I went to Spain on a mobile training team throughout Europe. And so I was in and out a lot. And we basically, at that point, that's when you start living the regular life. And I recognized that she was a traditional spirit, religious person, traditional religious experience. So I didn't talk a lot about what I did. And we just grew to know each other. And, it's like anyone when you first come together, many wonderful things, and then there's some challenges that happen. Just learning, put the dishes over on the left side, not the right side, or something like that. Very practical mm-hmm. stuff, along with the spiritual and friendship things.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to add that I finally realized that he was different, more different than I thought, and he was in the spiritual stuff, and we agreed not to talk about it. We agreed that. Because I didn't believe in any of that, and I said, this is all woo-woo stuff. I don't believe in that, but we'll just not talk about it. So we didn't talk about it for years.
So when and why did you start talking about it?
Because I, like I mentioned earlier, I went through this major crossroads in my life, and we were in, I had gone through the Chief's Initiation, which kind of started the process. It really opened me up to look at my childhood and all of the trauma that I experienced and all of the things that I was going through, and I knew that I needed help. That was in Spain. After we were in Spain, we went to Washington, D.C., and that's where I started getting some help. I ended up going to a group that helped people with adult children of alcoholics, So I did that, and that's when I realized that there was more going on, that I needed help, and so that started the process. It's like, okay, I need to do this. So that's what we did.
So where did that lead the two of you next?
Oh, my goodness. Well, once she was aware of all this stuff, I could start talking about it. And then we can start talking about information that comes from her guides and her high self. And my guidance was that I was to honor the just being quiet all those years, and that's what I did. I just worked on my own spiritual journey. But it allowed us to start doing a lot more together. We continued on because there's other seminars that we went through, and then we did, and they have, we used to go to an annual one. It was done at Easter every year, and it was a three-day meditation retreat, and it was absolutely awesome. And we just kept growing spiritually together from that point forward until we started doing classes later. But we'll talk about that in a little bit.
So what kinds of experiences and spiritual things were you exploring and learning about and experiencing?
You mean together or individually?
Yeah. Well,
we did more seminars and we meditated. And then while we were still in Washington, D.C., we started, other people found out about this, and we hosted some seminars, the ones that we facilitate now, for people, and we did a whole series of them there, which gave us a spiritual group to be with. So that was good. And a lot of it just, that was our we did as much spiritual as we could. Being on active duty, it's a fairly, Washington, D.C. is a pretty intense place anyway, and plus, you know, long days. So we did as much spiritual as we could in between just dealing with our, you know, regular life and, of course, our special needs son.
Oh, sorry. I was just wondering what kind of seminars you're talking about going to. What were you actually learning and experiencing?
Well, we'll talk about that in our I guess it's coming up.
Yeah.
Our shameless self-promotion segment. But there, the three seminars they're part of the Illuminated Mind series, and it's called, we have Intuitive Mastery. And then these are 2.5-day seminars. It's a Friday evening, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and that's true of all three of the seminars. Then we have an Illumination seminar, and then we have a Transformation seminar.
Well, these are what you're teaching, but what were you attending back then?
Yes, we were. We were attending them, and then later on we went through the qualification process because we've been doing it for so many years to facilitate them.
Jeff went through the process of becoming a facilitator, and I thought, I don't want to teach the classes. So for me, I've always been behind. And so it took a while before I was willing to teach the class. And it's been a very challenging process for me on this spiritual journey, because my original background was Southern Baptist, and all of those pre-programmed beliefs have been very challenging to overcome, but I've been overcoming them, and these seminars have really helped and helped me blossom and to become the person I am now. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I would be playing my sound healing instruments and facilitating classes and being a Reiki master, I would have told you were crazy, because I wouldn't have believed in all that. But,
here you are.
Here I am, you know. It's like, okay.
So the courses, when you first heard about them, not from what you're offering now, but from that perspective as students, what was being offered and what were you learning at the classes?
Well, we'll talk about that at the end. We can talk about it now. What they are is they deal with basically, like, let's use the intuitive mastery. You'll start with a regular learning how to meditate, because there's a mix of people that come to these things. Some people have been doing it a long time, some haven't done it at all. So you have to start kind of with that back group basis. And they're using very powerful techniques, very similar to what are used by athletes, NASA, or, how athletes use to hone their skills, especially Olympic athletes, where, you know, a tenth of a second makes a big difference, where you use visualization and biofeedback and reinforcement reinforcing techniques through meditation to let go of old patterns and to establish our higher patterns that we naturally have connection to in our high self. And so if I were to give you some of the things that happen, you experience higher levels of spiritual consciousness. Definitely get to the alpha state. And anymore, because of the accelerated times that we are in, everyone in the first seminar by Saturday, usually before then, but let's just say by Saturday afternoon, is in theta, deep theta, which is the dream state. Very deep, very powerful for transformational changes in our lives. It's about connection. All these seminars are about facilitating each person's spiritual connection, which is unique for every being in the universe, with their higher guidance, the etheric realm, their guides. And that all happens because we are guided to create a sacred space and facilitate their guides, of course, and their high selves, the angels, and the light beings, who all, and the divine, which is our name for God, because each one of us has a different relationship to God, how we think of that. But whatever it is for each person, it gets uniquely established and it grows tremendously fast. We have seen some pretty phenomenal things happen when people open up to their higher guidance. And again, it's a powerful state. Just tremendous, usually, amounts of energy come in, build. But right off the bat, we get people out of their worldly path in the class. We get them into the meditative experience. We deal with releasing things, resolving problems and negative habits, using your subconscious so that you can bypass the conscious level and old habituations and just gently and gracefully let them go and establish the new ones. Let people learn, connect with their higher guidance, their guides, so that they can get their own information. Go ahead.
Okay.
Am I going too deep?
This is just the perspective of you teaching it. What I'm trying to get at is what it was like when you first attended and what you experienced, not what you're teaching, but you as a student back then, so we can see what lights were going on, right? So you back then, attending as students, what were you first experiencing? Like, what, you know, the moment when you know something is important and legitimate and, you know, when you have that direct experience of this is important.
It happened when I took my first seminar, which they've evolved since then, but when I was 16, back in 1978, and I went there, and I believed in this because my mom was heavy into Edgar Cayce and in spiritual items, so I was very open to it. But I went there, and I wasn't sure what I was going to experience, but it wasn't until going through the meditative process, and it was near the end of the seminar back then, that I recognized I was different now. The David or Jeff that walked in on Friday evening isn't the same one that left on Sunday afternoon. I had an interconnection, a peace, a calm, which is for a teenager that's a pretty tall order here, but at least it was for me. And just that sense of connecting with my guides, I knew I had found it. And what I mean by it is I had found that connection that seminar had facilitated my spiritual connection, that I knew this was the connection that was going to guide me and it was going to grow. And that's when I really knew. And it gave me the tools and the methodology, so to speak, the spiritual approaches to be able to do that, which I didn't have before then. I just had random events happening to me.
So that was when you were 16. So, you know, the number of years, like, I don't know how you didn't talk about it for a number of years in your marriage. That's impressive. That's significant change for one weekend, obviously. What was the seminar called back then?
It was called the Alpha Seminar, as I mentioned up front. That was called, go ahead.
Alpha Seminar, got it. And so it really deals with brainwave levels, states?
Yes, and that was part of the Jose Silva, Dr. Silva methodology. He did a lot of research into this, and it was very powerful, very groundbreaking at the time. And again, this, a lot of what you see happening, a lot of the subsequent work that you see lots of universities, NASA and such to do was in part based upon his work. It was groundbreaking, and it just opened us up to being able to have methods to really tap the powers of the mind and the spiritual connection.
Very cool. Yes, his work was groundbreaking in a lot of ways. All right, so you've evolved this work into seminars now that you're offering, right?
Yes.
Yes. We offer the seminars, and we've been part of the curriculum development in the past. In fact, we were for many, many years. So that we've helped as the guidance comes in to update the information and bring in new facets and bring in new things, we've been part of that. So the course that at any point in time, a year later or 2 years later, isn't quite the same seminar as it was before because it evolves with the times.
So in what ways has it evolved?
Well, one of the things that's happened, and it just has to do with the actual what goes on in the seminars, as the frequency of the planet raises and our soul group, that raises and we individually do, both our bodies and energetic bodies, we're able to connect with higher and higher realms. And there are places we go in the etheric realm, Celestial City, Crystal City, it's also known as. And there's higher levels of those that we can now go to. We work with Elohim beings, and they're amongst many things. They're the creative aspect of the divine. It's where the word aloha comes from, by the way, from the sacred Huna teachings. We can go higher and higher. So as new things become available, different meditation modules, I don't know what you want to call them, the meditations reflect the ability to explore those new realms, those new places and beings, and all the energies associated with it and abilities.
So what is the main purpose and goal of the meditations and the work?
It's really all about facilitating a couple-fold. At a very practical level, let's use the intuitive mastery. People who don't know how to meditate, they learn how to meditate, they meet their guides, they clear out old subconscious beliefs, some very practical things. We also teach some cognitive abilities like memory techniques, sleep techniques, staying awake techniques, very practical things that people can use out through the day. But ultimately, we work with their higher guidance, their high self, their guides, and the divine to facilitate their connection. So I don't think I coined it, but I came to realize these seminars facilitate the connection that once I have that connection, it guides me to all other connections. It allows people to be self-guided. And once they have that, that is what's happening in background in during the seminar, sometimes in foreground, but people know things are happening. But so much is happening beyond just the practical approach. But it's to establish their connection with their high self, their guides, the etheric realm, the divine, the angels, whoever their higher guidance is, so that they can have that communication and that can guide them in their life to what their path is. So that each person can be guided by the divine and their higher guidance on their spiritual path, their unique spiritual path. That's what we do.
And you don't have to look outside for the answers anymore. You have that direct connection.
Yep.
You don't have to go to the latest guru to get the information. It's all about your connection and your spiritual growth. It's about spiritual growth.
It's it.
That's it.
That's definitely all about coming from within, especially these days, more than ever. So can you use a few examples of maybe some of the students coming through your classes of how they've shifted and their lives have changed?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. We have a person, and remain nameless, who was on a disability and because of an accident, work accident. Anyway. And started going to we do monthly meditations here. We do them both online and we have them in person for those that are in the area. And started coming and he started noticing he couldn't quite figure it out, things happening. And he had some real challenges just processing mentally and things happened just because of what had happened with him, you know, and what has happened since then is because of this connection and this higher guidance has slowly been aligning his different bodies, and beyond just the meridians and the chakras and the energetic bodies, and balancing things out, clearing old patterns out. He's just like, he's not even the same person a couple of years later now, just doing this monthly. Now he's taking the seminars, and he's back running his own business. It's like he went from being on disability to just having a regular life again. And he is fully committed. Definitely. He's found it, and he's committed to it. And he says, I'm about getting this working, doing this work and being done with it. And that's kind of his words for it. Which I understand what he means is he's ready to, all the stuff that he's let just sit around, he's ready to let it go and make the higher connections that guide him in his life. And that is exactly what he is doing. It's awesome to watch. It's incredible. And it's just because of his connection, allowing that connection with the divine, and we were happy to be part of that, to be instruments and channels of that.
So where does the sound healing and other healing come into all of this?
When we're doing the meditations, the monthly meditations, I'm always playing different instruments. I'm guided to play different ones depending on what energies are being brought in, and it helps to facilitate what we're working on. When I'm doing the music, it's not just about the music, it's about the energies flowing in with it. I'm channeling the energies and the music as well. So anytime we do the seminars, the meditations, everything, we have sound included as well. And that really, it bypasses the left brain, and it really affects people in a positive way because it helps the healing process. Whatever they're going through, it helps them emotionally, physically, spiritually, or physically. And so it may help them get into a higher state. It can help them release the old emotional baggage. It can help them heal from different pain or whatever they're having going on in their body. It helps them to feel that connection to the divine, so that they can feel that love and be able to expand on their spiritual path. So it's really an integral part of what we do. We also do one-on-one sessions. I do sound healing one-on-one. I can do it in person or on Zoom. It's usually an hour and a half to 2 hour session. And as always, I channel the energies and the music for whatever they need. Just intuitively, just bring through what needs to happen for that person. And it's pretty powerful. Amazing things happen. And Jeff and I also do a combined session that we've just started doing. He does the energetic part, which I'll let him talk about that. But then I do my healing, which is also energetic as well. And I do Reiki. I'm a Reiki master as well. So it's very, very powerful. That's all I can say right now.
So you certainly come fully into yourself from where you started as well. Did you take a lot of training studying the different sound modalities?
No, I have always been part of, music's always been part of my life. When I was growing up, I learned how to play the recorder, and then I was in band and the marching band, and I was in the choir. And then when I was in the church, I would sing in the choir and did the hand bells and all that. And music's always been a part of my life. And I was given a Native American flute at one of the spiritual retreats that Jeff and I went to. And it took me years before I actually started playing it, because my left brain said, well, I don't have the notes. I don't know how to play it. I don't have music, you know, all that. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to play whatever comes through. And that's what started me allowing the music to just flow through me. And then the next thing I got was the crystal bowl, the heart bowl that I would like to play before we leave today. And then I've just slowly gathered different instruments. So I've got a plethora of different instruments, a crystal harp, a crystal pyramid,
pan,
all the crystal bowls, the Tibetan bowls. I want to get a gong next, but anyway, and every single one of these instruments, I just intuitively just allows the energy to flow through me and learn how to play. Like I got the hand pan. I'm like, how do I play this? Doesn't matter. Just play whatever comes. And that's what I do. I just play whatever I'm guided to play.
It is awesome.
What is the heart bowl?
It's a crystal heart bowl. It's the bowl that resonates. It's the F sharp is the one I have. And it resonates with the heart chakra. And it brings in and opens the heart and allows us to feel divine love, to bring in that love.
Oh, well, that's perfect for today. Well, it's perfect for any day, I would assume. Just keeping an eye on the time, would you like to give us the example of the heart bowl now?
Sure, I can. I've got a variety of instruments. I wanted to test a few.
Okay.
I'll tell you which one I'm playing before I play it. This will only take about a couple of minutes.
And let me know if you can, how well you can hear it. We can switch to the handset if we need to.
Okay.
So the first one I'm going to play is my American flute. It's the ceremonial flute. So I'm going to play it. And tell me if you can hear it.
All right. Beautiful. That comes through really well.
And then I have my crystal harp.
Moving the chair out of the way.
If I can get in here.
Did you say crystal harp?
Yes, crystal harp, yes.
Yes, it's my crystal harp, my angelic crystal harp.
Quartz.
It's quartz. Mm. It's really cool.
Listen, here it goes. Turn the phone so you can hear.
Ooh. Wow, that is really cool. That is a very cool thing.
Then I have the crystal heart bowl.
Here's the bowl. And last but not least, the hand pan.
Okay.
My Joyen ethereal hand pan.
Thank you. And that's it.
Wow. You know, you'll be able to tell when you hear the archive of if I'm hearing, you know, the degree that I should be hearing on this end and the audience as well. But we should get you to do clips and send us MP3s as well that we can have in the background for future shows. That crystal harp thing, that is just the coolest thing I've ever heard. Wow.
We have lots of them, and we're doing more of them, so we can certainly do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Everybody loves the crystal harp. That's their favorite.
Yeah, it's stunning because you get the vibrations between the notes, and you can feel the energy moving. It's visceral.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're
using
the crystal harp for sound healing, and they're having amazing results with just playing the crystal harp. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's powerful. And I'm sure, you know, the quality we're getting just kind of playing over the phone over a, internet connection is probably nothing compared to what it's really sounding like. So that's saying something. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, here's where we're at. We're at about the last 10-minute mark here. 9-minute mark to the top. So now's the time when you really want to let it rip. Shameless self-promotion, talking about all these courses that you're offering, explaining what they do, what the results of experiencing them are, you know, kind of get into the effects and benefits side of it for us so we really get it. But this is the time to let it rip. What have you got?
All right. Well, we talked about we teach or facilitate. We don't teach because we're facilitating each person to have their connection with their higher guidance. And we have the intuitive mastery seminar, which is the beginning one, which very practical things. And it takes people from, we have people who are Reiki masters of all religious backgrounds, you name it, come into the seminars and establish their connection. And again, and I can tell you the experience, higher levels of spiritual consciousness, that's kind of resolve problem solving and change negative habits. We do this at the subconscious level so that the conscious mind doesn't get in the middle of it. Tap into higher guidance, which is, again, your high self, your guides, and the angels, whatever you have, each person has for their higher guidance. In health, enhance self-direction through conscious control of your life. We do programming techniques. We teach people how to do memory techniques, how to stay awake, how to go to sleep. Very powerful things.
What are programming
greater harmony
techniques?
In your relationship. Hmm?
What do you mean by programming techniques, et cetera? What are those?
For example, let's say someone smokes and they've been trying for years to quit smoking. Let's use that as an example. We use powerful techniques through visualization, programming, and of course connection with their subconscious and their higher guidance. And what happens when they're doing this, they use the techniques and their connection with the subconscious as well as their higher guidance to which the higher their higher guidance, their guides and the divine and their high self help clear out old patterns. There could be some energetic and belief systems that are associated with it. There could be some depending on what the thing is that they're trying to change, it could be early childhood traumas, whatever they are, they get effortlessly cleared out without being processed through the conscious mind.
Hmm.
It's based on transpersonal psychology, which is a bypassing of the ego. And then they program in the desired habit. And they can do it, you know, they do it once. Obviously, we pick one or two habits during the seminar. And then typically they can reprogram them. And we've watched all kinds of things happen. People quit smoking, quit drinking, quit other habits. Just, you know, maybe they have a particular behavioral habit that they want to get rid of, and they become aware of the reasons behind it through connection with their higher guidance and the subconscious. They can look at their subconscious beliefs and say, oh, that's why. Well, we don't need that anymore, and just let it go. It really is that simple. And so that's one of the ways they do it. Yes, because of the limited time, we could go into great detail in this, and we certainly encourage people to contact us, and we'll tell them, answer any questions they have. And then we have, so that's what happens is that by Saturday, boy, oh boy, we hit near saturation energetic, because their higher guidance in all three seminars is going to take them from wherever they are to where each person individually to wherever they're ready to be. It can be, I don't like to use the word quantum because it gets overused, but it is quantum leaps in growth that can happen physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And then on Sunday, when we, by that time, everyone, their guides have put all the spiritual energetic water they can in that sponge. And at that point, for the next month or so, they're processing that. And then in the next seminar, we explore even more things, more beings, more realms. But usually the people that have had the first seminar come to that one, and then the frequency, upward frequency range goes higher and higher and higher in each one. And again, connections are made based on, you can take the same seminar twice, and because it's based on connection, again, your higher guidance is going to take them from where they are to where they are ready to be. And one of the three classes, and we just want to share this because we are just the conduit, we are the instruments of the higher guidance, the divine, to do this. We have seen some miraculous things happen, and I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version. We did a seminar in Boise, and one of the ladies there that had a traffic accident years ago, one leg, the back wasn't, spinal wasn't straight, was like one leg was slightly off from the other. Doctors had done all they could do. And during the second of the seminars, which is the Illumination Seminar, she felt this invisible hand grab her, I think her left leg, doesn't matter, pulled on it. Next thing she knew, the pain was gone, and she felt straight. That happened on a Friday night. She kept it to herself all day Friday, all day Saturday, because she was thinking, well, you know, this may not last. Sunday morning, we do what's called Review Preview, where we talk about what we did and what we're going to do and what had happened with any of the students during the night. And she said, you know, you aren't going to believe this, but I'm healed. I'm done. And that is the divine and their higher guidance. When people open up in these sacred spaces and they're ready for it, things happen. That's a pretty dramatic example. We've had seen that two or three times. But we've seen everything else, just the healing that happens spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and sometimes physically. It's just awesome. And it's all because they've opened up to their higher guidance and they were ready for it. That's what happens. And that happens during our sessions too.
And you do these, like it doesn't have to be in person, does it? Is it also through Zoom or something online?
Well, she's done a Zoom sound shower / healing, because it was both. Because she does sound showers, which are just general, and sound healings, which are, she's channeling specifically for that, what that person needs. The energetic sessions I've only done in person. I work with a person's higher guidance. Actually, it's their higher guidance, their high self, their guides and divine that use me as a channel and an instrument to do things. And no two sessions are the same. We do some basic stuff, you know, setting up, energizing them, clearing, aligning the chakras, aligning the meridians, setting the chakras, getting everything going, working with their extended bodies, their high selves, and their extended aspects. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but I'll give an example. The last session was very unique. All of a sudden, out of the blue, this person had bands and bands of angels came, and we did an angelic healing energetic session. And they lasted about 2 hours, by the way. They're very long. They start when they start, and they end when they end. It's their higher guidance determines how long they last. We don't ever know. And we don't even know. I know kind of generally what we're doing, but that's what happens. I think I can do them. Deborah, like Brasso does. Brasso, remember him? He used to channel love, and people would watch him on TV. I think I could probably do it via a Zoom session, because physical distance is really meaningless. We have healings happen. We have things happen when I do intuitive readings, which was one of the things that I do for people over the phone while we're talking about stuff. Energetic things are happening in their body. Chakras are being lined. Old emotional baggage is being released. Every intuitive session has an energetic component. Every energetic session has an intuitive component, just like Deborah's sound showers are both energetic and spiritual and sound.
What about the actual seminars, though? Are those accessible remotely?
No, not right
now.
Not
yet. We are working on doing that. So that's something we're looking to do.
One of the things that's really powerful about the seminars is when you do it in person, you have that dynamic and that camaraderie, spiritual connection together, and the energies are amplified. I'm sure it's powerful over the internet, but we don't have the classes ready to do that yet. But we would like to fairly soon. We're working on that aspect of it.
I think that would go over really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so to answer your question, we have an intuitive mastery coming up in Kalispell, Montana, anyone who happens to be in the area, on 22nd through the 24th of April. If you go to shaysholistics.com, that's our website, we have it all out there. We have guided meditations, sound. You've got some sound.
Yeah, I want to talk just a minute about what I'm doing.
Please.
We're doing a Zoom, my first Zoom sound shower.
Yes.
April 6th from 7 to 9, and it's free. 7 to 9 p.m. in Montana time. It's free on Zoom. So if you're interested in doing the Zoom sound shower, just go to our website, and there'll be a link out there. That's not out there quite yet, but there'll be a link on the front page where you can click on it and say, I want to go to the Zoom sound shower, and then we'll send you a link on how to get to it. So that'll be April 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. The other thing that I have just finished recording an album. It's a CD MP3 version, and it's out there on our website now, and it's called Living in Divine Love, and it's got 7 different songs on it, and one is called Calming Wind, and I play my ceremonial flute, and then we have Oh Great Spirit, and then I play the crystal harp, which is releasing energetic attachments, which is letting go of all the things that don't serve you anymore, and then connecting, kind of programming what you want to bring into your life. That happens. Then I have the Om Haranya Garbhaya Namaha chant, which is a salutation to the golden cosmic self and helps us to connect with the being of God. And then next is connecting with the divine, playing the crystal harp again. And then after that is the Ahem Prema chant, which it enables us to attract people who are more heart-centered and situations grounded in higher love. And then we can release things that no longer serve us. And then the last thing that's on the CD is Living in Divine Love Meditation. I'm playing the crystal heart bowl, and I guide you through a guided meditation of connecting with the divine and opening our heart and receiving that divine love, which is very powerful. So that's the CD, and if you can download it to your tablets or phones or whatever. It's an MP version. It's not a hard CD, but it's the MP3. If people want a hard CD, they'd have to let us know.
Okay.
But anyway,
we are actually at the very top of the hour. So final thought, anything that you wanted to get in there while we can? We've got 1 minute.
Just go to it. If you want to know more about us, just go to our website, shaysholistics.com.
Or our YouTube channel, which is also Shays Holistics. It's S-H-A-Y-S,
Holistics,
plural. And we're out there on YouTube, and we're on, again, the website. And sign up on our list, and we will send announcements.
And I'll link up at newsforthesoul.com as well. That's the easy way. You can find all those links there. Guys, it was great getting to know you, and I'm looking forward to your next shows. And I'm loving that crystal harp. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for introducing us to that. Stay tuned, everybody, on the lines. You're going to have to call back in. It is the Shelley Sanders Medium Show next, and I see a lot of callers there with their hands up, so you're going to have to dial back in because the board's going to cut you off when we reset. Deborah and David / Jeff, it was wonderful. And we'll talk to you next time. All right,
thanks,
be well.
Much.
Blessings and light.
They are all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Back with more right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.